window. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Well, thank you, Dave, and welcome to this edition of Yesteryear. On today's program, it's True Detective Mysteries and Screen Directors Playhouse. The Screen Directors Playhouse honored the work of film directors featuring adaptations of popular films introduced by the original motion picture director. The series premiered January 1949 with an adaptation of John Ford's Stagecoach, headlined by the film's original stars, Claire Trevor and John Wayne. The actual radio productions were directed by Bill Karn, a former political speechwriter, with producer Howard Wiley overseeing music and sound effects. On today's edition of the Screen Director's Playhouse, it's Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House. Cary Grant recreates his original screen role, with Francis Robinson assuming the role portrayed by Myrna Loy in the 1948 comedy. An advertising executive trades in his New York apartment for a fixer-upper house in the country. From July of 1949, it's Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, starring Cary Grant as Jim Blandings, Francis Robinson as Muriel Blandings, and Ruby Dandridge as Gussie. The Screen Director's Playhouse. On this edition of Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Burton, Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you.
From Hollywood, Pabst Blue Ribbon proudly presents Screen Director's Playhouse, production Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, director H.C. Potter, star Cary Grant. The Hollywood Screen Directors present a blueprint for laughter. Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, starring Cary Grant and introducing the director of the film, H.C. Potter. The directing of motion pictures can ordinarily be expected to satisfy anyone's urge for creative achievement, but not our guest screen director tonight, for he's also the director of such significant Broadway plays as A Bell for Adano and Anne of a Thousand Days. On the screen, he's brought you such fine entertainment as Mr. Lucky, The Farmer's Daughter, and tonight's story, Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. H.C. Potter.
Thank you. People laugh at most comedies because something funny happens to the characters. But in the case of Mr. Blandings, they laugh because the joke was on them. As millions of Mr. Blandings saw themselves discovering the ferocious fact that homes are built, not born. Now, Mr. Blandings builds his dream house for the first time on the air, starring Cary Grant in his original role of Jim, with Francis Robinson as Muriel.
Was once a carefree fellow who swung happily through the jungle trees, every man his own Tarzan. But then he wanted to get out of the trees and into caves. Then he yearned to get out of the caves into a house. He's still yearning. This is the story of Jim Blandings, New York apartment dweller, who yearned to get out of his cave. Tall, good-looking, college graduate, advertising business, VP in charge of the Wham Ham account. Has two fine daughters and one lovely, intelligent wife named Muriel. I'm Muriel. Every morning in our apartment, we fought for first with the bathroom, the big bonanza. Started first thing in the morning, I'd open one eye, and there would be Jim nuzzling the furniture like a strange dog. Looking for something, dear?
My socks.
Why don't you look in your sock drawer?
That's where I found my underwear.
Try your underwear drawer.
I am in my underwear drawer.
Well, what did you find?
Your underwear.
Then the Great American Bathroom Derby. And there goes Jim Blandings, an odds-on favorite. He's at the door. He opens it.
Sorry.
Father, I wish you'd knock.
That was Betsy, age 10. Joan has a different scream. Conditions being what they were in our apartment, Jim would shave while I brush my teeth.
Oh, Muriel.
Sorry, did you cut yourself?
I cut myself every morning. I kind of look forward to it.
Bill Cole uses an electric razor and...
Bill Cole does not have my beard.
Bill's beard is just as tough and stubborn...
I am not interested in discussing the grain and texture of Bill Cole's hair follicles before I have my orange juice, please.
And so forth. Until one morning, Jim saw an ad in the paper.
Listen to this, Muriel.
Hmm?
Forced to sell. Farm dwelling. Original beams. Oak grove. Trout stream. Meadows. Superb view. Will sacrifice.
So?
Spend $6,000-$7,000. We can have a home of our own. A dream house.
Oh, Jim. Do you really think we could?
Doesn't cost anything to look.
Well, there she stands, folks. The old Hackett place. Finest old house in Connecticut.
My, it's just charming.
Dear, we're just looking.
First year she was here, General Gates stopped right there to water his horses. Yes, sir. If you act fast, you can get that place for a steal. And I mean a steal.
Tell me, Smith, what are you hoping to get for that broken-down old relic?
Well, we're asking $10,000.
$10,000?
He's asking. How much will you take?
$10,000.
Well, that's more like it. We'll take it. Good morning. Good morning, Gussie. Good morning, children.
Good morning, Mr. Blandings.
Good morning, Father.
Morning, Muriel. Good
morning, dear.
I'll go get your wham and eggs now, Mr. Blanding.
Well, girls, did your mother tell you about our new home?
Yes.
Well?
Our teacher, Miss Stillwagon, says the current craze for modernizing old farmhouses is a form of totem worship.
Oh, Miss Stillwagon does, huh?
I was just thinking, Jim, $10,000 was more than you wanted to pay for a place.
It was a steal, Muriel. It was larceny.
Shouldn't we see a lawyer? Bill Cole would have...
For once in my life, I want to make a decision without Bill Cole.
Well, he's your lawyer.
Only because he was your old college beau. Now, I don't want Bill Cole puttering with this. That's final. No Bill Cole. Well, there's our house, Bill. What do you think?
Well... What's that?
Just a few shingles.
Oh, it's a nice old house, Bill. It just needs someone to love. That's all.
a good thing there are two of you, one to love it and one to hold it up. What'd your engineer say when he checked the foundation in that roof?
Who needs engineers? This isn't a train.
I just saw it move.
Now, look here, Bill. It so happens that General Gates stopped at this very house to water his horses.
I don't care if General Grant stopped in for a cold beer. You're getting rooked.
Jim, you don't think we've made a mistake?
Oh, now listen to me, both of you. I've gone out and found what I'm not ashamed to call my dream house. It's like a beautiful painting. You buy it with your heart, not with your head. Because it's beautiful and you love it. And when I sign those papers Saturday, I can look the world in the face and say it's mine. My house. My home. My 50 acres.
Our house. Our home. Our 50 acres.
Well, all right. You better let me have Joe Apollone. He'll look the house over for you.
Who?
He's the man who advised the government not to raise the Normandy.
Oh, no.
And they didn't listen to him and wasted $5 million.
Bill, you have my word. If I were raising the Normandy, I wouldn't make a move without Joe Apollonio.
Okay. Okay, Jim. Muriel, I kiss goodbye for an old college chum, and I'll be on my way.
I'm going to look around inside again. Coming along, Muriel?
Jim, the porch floor!
But don't just stand there. Get me out of this hole.
Bill?
Hey!
I guess you'd better get in touch with Joe Apollonio.
Any small changes in this house, Mr. Apollonio, would have to conform with the character of the countryside.
Uh-huh.
And still be functional.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Apollonio, what's your professional opinion?
Tear it down.
Tear it down?
Tear it down. Get yourself an architect and build a new house.
Get an architect?
Build a new house.
We certainly will not get an architect.
Build a new house.
The idea.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So, four experts later, we got ourselves an architect and had the old house torn down and began to discuss plans for a brand new house.
And lots of closet space, Mr. Sims. If there's one thing this family needs, it's closet space.
Closet space.
And bedrooms, Mr. Sims. Four big, roomy, airy bedrooms.
Four bedrooms, Mr. Blanding?
And each bedroom to have at least one bathroom.
And with your limited budget, couldn't you do with one less bathroom?
Well, of course.
Absolutely not.
It'll save $1,300.
I refuse to endanger the health of my children in a house with less than four bathrooms.
Muriel, for $1,300, they can live in a house with three bathrooms and rough it. Mr. Sims, we'd like a terrace off the study and a three-car garage and, of course, a bar. We must have a bar.
Of course. What else?
Just one thing. Keep the cost down to $10,000.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, you've done it again.
Done what?
What's wrong, Bill?
Did that idiot Sims let you tear down your house without consulting me?
Well, what if he did? What of it?
Wasn't anyone aware of the legality involved?
What did I do? What did I do? Tell me.
Didn't you realize that you're dealing with Ephemus Hackett?
Will you tell me what crime I've committed?
Jim, what in the world did you do?
I don't know. He won't tell me.
You merely tore down a house on which Hackett held a $6,000 mortgage, which now becomes fully payable upon demand, and Mr. Hackett does so demand.
Where'll we get it?
Well, I suppose I could turn in my insurance policies.
No, Jim. Not yet. No, rather than see you do that, I'll be glad to sign a note for that amount.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, forget it. Well, kiss goodbye for an old college chum, Muriel, old chum.
Huh?
Goodbye, Bill.
Hey!
So long, Jim.
Bye.
What a wonderful friend.
You know, what's with this kissing all of a sudden? Lately, every time he leaves his apartment, he shakes hands with me and kisses you.
Would you prefer it the other way around?
Well, I don't like it, that's all. Why doesn't he get married or something?
Because he can't find another girl as sweet and pretty and wholesome as I am. Oh, darling, it isn't Bill. It's the house you're upset about.
Yeah, I suppose so.
It isn't too late to change our minds about the house, Jim.
Muriel, so far, our $10,000 house has cost us $24,698.45. Oh, there's one thing you've got to admit.
What?
We've got the prettiest vacant lot in the state of Connecticut.
You are listening to Screen Director's Playhouse, starring Cary Grant in Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, and introduced by the director of the film, Mr. H.C. Potter.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Back to our Screen Director's Playhouse production of Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, starring Cary Grant.
They cleared the ground for the house. They began digging. They struck solid rock. They had to blast it.
Blast it?
It was now $27,000. And down at the office, Jim's deadline for the new slogan for Wham! Was getting nearer.
Mary.
Yes, sir.
How about this? When you want a snack of ham, why not take a whack at Wham?
You want a professional opinion?
Never mind.
The highly touted trout stream dried up. We had to dig a well. At $4.50 a foot, Jim thought he ought to have a word with Mr. Tassander, digger of wells.
Mr. Tassander! Oh, Mr. Tassander!
Yep?
How's it coming?
Oh, it's coming.
No, I mean, Mr. Tassander!
Yep?
I meant, how far down are you?
Oh, about 190 feet.
Well, isn't that pretty deep?
Yep.
Have you hit anything at all?
Hit some nice limestone yesterday.
Limestone?
Yep.
Oh, swell. Nothing on a hot day like a nice cold glass of limestone. Oh, nothing. Go right ahead. I'll just slink back to my office and mop the petty cash.
And then, wonderful to relate, we had our well at last. In fact, we had two wells. One in the yard and another in our basement, 6 feet down.
Now, how do you explain it, Mr. Tassander? The men hit good water in my basement at 6 feet. And over there, just 25 yards away, you had to go down 227 feet to hit the same water.
Yep.
Well, how do you account for it?
Well, the way it seems to me, over here, the water's down around 6 feet. And over there, it's down around 227 feet.
Yep.
Mr. Blanding, your favorite breakfast dish.
Gussie.
Not Wham again.
I love it.
I hate it.
Gussie, I spend 8 long hours a day selling this stuff. I know all about its succulent goodness, its sugar-cured tenderness, its vitamin-drenched
gazebo. Oh, you don't have to sell me, Mr. Blanding. I like it. Beef and lamb, dorade with Wham.
Night and day under the hide of me, Wham.
Dear, Bill's driving me out to the house again today.
Every time I turn around, Bill's driving you out to the house.
He's only being helpful.
I thought he was a lawyer. Why isn't he out suing somebody? Who's that? Hello? Oh, good morning, Bill.
Oh, give him my love.
Wait a minute. What? Oh, that's outrageous. Just what does the owner of this apartment mean I've got to move in 30 days?
Oh, fine.
No. I know my rights. I have no intention of moving in 30 days. No. No. Well, how can I move into a house without doors and windows? This is not legal, and I want you to fight it. I don't care if it takes every penny I've got. I am not moving. Right. Yeah. 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 All right.
Well?
We're moving in 30 days.
We moved moved in 30 days into a house with no doors, no windows, and no carpets. We walked around in our overcoats, and at no time did General Eisenhower drive up to share a cup of hot toddy with us. Instead, the green-eyed monster showed up, that old devil Jealousy, because Jim, while unpacking, came across Bill Cole's fraternity pin and my college diary. He didn't say anything until just before we went to bed.
I merely asked a question. What is Bill Cole's fraternity pin doing in your jewel box? Especially after you told me you gave it back to him 15 years ago.
Jim Blandings, I think you're jealous.
Yeah, and his name all over your diary.
Oh, now you've been reading my diary.
Well, it just happened to fall open.
I'll just bet.
If you were so crazy about the guy, why did you marry me?
I'm beginning to wonder. Maybe it was those big cow eyes of yours. Or that ridiculous hole in your chin. Or maybe I just happened to fall in love with you. But don't ask me why.
Oh, Muriel, I'm sorry. Sometimes I act like a schoolboy. Forgive me.
Oh, Jim.
Oh, why do I love you so much? Yes.
Darling, it's awfully late. Maybe you better go down and lock the doors.
Well, what for? The windows are all out anyway.
We better get to bed.
Yeah. Do you think the mattress will hold on these four chairs?
Certainly.
Good night, dear.
Good night.
Good evening, Danton and Bascom Advertising. Oh, yes, Mrs. Blandings, he's right here. It's your wife, boss.
Yeah. Yes, Muriel? Yes, it's raining here, too. Well, no, I'm sorry, dear, I can't make it for dinner. I'm going to be here all night with this slogan. What? Bill is coming to dinner. Bill. Oh, all right, Muriel, I've got to get back to work. Bye, Muriel. Bill.
Boss, how's this for a slogan? East is east and west is west. Ham is ham, but wham is best. Sorry.
Mm. Wait a minute, how's this? If you'd buy better ham, you'd better buy wham.
That's boil petroleum. You better buy oil, you better buy boil.
Yeah, confound those monopolies. Wait a minute, I've got it. Win with wham, the ham that came from behind. Oh, no.
Well, by 5 o'clock in the morning, Jim gave up in disgust and started out for the house. Jim, dear.
Morning, Muriel.
Oh, you must be exhausted. How'd it go?
Oh, fine.
Oh, Muriel, I can't seem to find Jim's other slippery. Oh. Hello, Jim.
Morning, Bill. What brings you... What are you doing in my pajamas and dressing gown?
Well, how would I look without them?
Bill dropped in and had to stay all night when the bridge was washed out.
Yeah? Slept like a rock.
Rock. Slept like...
Good morning, folks. Sure hope it wasn't as bad here last night as it was in Lansdale.
Gussie wasn't here last night?
Lansdale.
Saw the girls at the Williamses. They'll be along for breakfast any minute.
The children weren't here last night either?
Visiting the Williamses.
Williamses?
If you'll excuse me, I'll slip into something more comfortable.
Williamses?
Now, Jim, you're upset. You've a lot of things on your mind, and...
There's only one thing on my mind. This house, and how to get rid of it.
That's not what you're thinking.
Well... Maybe I'm thinking I was once a happy man. I didn't have a closet, and I didn't have three bathrooms, but I did have my sanity, a few dollars in the bank, two children who loved me, and a wife I could trust.
That's a fine thing to say.
I also had a job, something I don't have at the moment.
Jim.
I'm resigning, and I blame this house for everything.
You love this house.
I hate it. Anybody who builds a house today is crazy. The minute you start, you're on the all-American sucker list. Everywhere you turn, there's a hand in your pocket. Take out the hand, they find more pockets. I tell you, it's a conspiracy against every man and woman who want a home of their own, against every boy and girl who were ever in love, against...
Excuse me, Mr. Blandy.
Now, what do you want, Mr. DeSander? We've got our well.
There's a matter of $12.86.
Oh, $12.86. Why be a piker, Mr. DeSander? Take everything I've got. Here, take my watch, my keys, my pocket money, my driver's license, my wallet. Take it all.
Mr. Blandings, you don't understand. This $12.86, you don't owe me. I owe you.
Huh?
I found overcharged you on the well. Almost 3 feet.
3 feet?
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. DeSander.
Guess I better be getting along. Sure got a mighty pretty place here. Now you folks take good care of it. Goodbye.
Wonderful man, DeSander.
Come and get it, folks. Orange juice, scrambled eggs, and you know what?
Ham.
Not ham, wham. If you ain't eating wham, you ain't eating ham.
Wait, what did she say?
If you ain't eating wham, you...
You ain't eating ham. Darling, that's it, the slogan. Give Gussie a $10 raise.
Oh, Jim.
Oh, Muriel.
Oh, and darling, you didn't mean what you said. You do love our house, don't you?
Oh, Muriel, I don't know. If I had it to do all over again... If I had to put up with tearing it down and architects and then well diggers and builders and contractors and bathrooms... If I had to mortgage my future, my job, my peace of mind, just to wind up with a house, a simple $45,000 house, if I had it to do all over again...
Yes.
I guess I'd do it.
In a moment, our star, Cary Grant, and screen director H.C. Potter will return to the microphone.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Next week on Screen Director's Playhouse... Pabst Blue Ribbon presents The Big Clock, starring Ray Milland and Maureen O'Sullivan. Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House was presented through the courtesy of RKO Pictures, producers of The Big Steal, starring Robert Mitchum, Jane Greer, and William Bendix. Cary Grant is starring with Ann Sheridan in the soon-to-be-released 20th Century Fox production, I Was a Male War Bride. H.C. Potter is preparing the MGM production, Europa and the Bull, starring Greer Garson. Included in tonight's cast were Francis Robinson as Muriel, with Ann Whitfield, Don Bender, Fred Howard, Willard Waterman, Frank Gersel, Wilms Herbert, Herb Butterfield, Betty Moran, Ruby Dandridge, and Dan Ritz. Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, based on Eric Hodgins' novel, was adapted for radio by Milton Geiger, and original music was composed and conducted by Henry Russell. Production was under the supervision of Howard Wiley, associate producer Bill Karn. Listen again next week when Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer presents...
Screen Director's Playhouse.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
From July of 1949, it's been Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, the Screen Director's Playhouse, starring Cary Grant. Next up, for you fans of a real good mystery, it's True Detective Mysteries and Dick Janiver starring in Murder in the Horror House. True Detective Mysteries was Network Radio's first detective series. It debuted in May of 1929 on CBS and paved the way for a number of other now famous detective mysteries on radio. True Detective Mysteries, like Gangbusters, was an anthology series that followed a case history of an actual crime and offered cash rewards for information leading to the arrest of felons. The series was revived many times over the Mutual Network, beginning in September of 1936, and finally left the airwaves in 1959. From August of 1937, it's Dick Janiver starring in Murder in the Horror House on True Detective Mysteries, the best of the golden age of radio, here on Yesteryear.
And now we bring you a thrilling crime detection story taken from the pages of the leading detective publication, True Detective Mysteries Magazine. Our story begins in a little farming community of Florence, Colorado.
All the fresh! A vegetable, all the fresh! Oh! Oh, stop you! Wow, you don't like it, wee bear? If you don't like it, stop one and not only say whoa! Hello, Mike. I'll bring you a nice vegetable. Nice and fresh.
Yeah, sure, I know. Like yesterday's, eh? You don't know what a fresh vegetable looks like. They turn rotten when you touch them. Even your horse can't stand working for you.
How come you say that? Neroni's a very kind of man. He has the best farm in the whole neighborhood. I tell you, take a look at that lettuce. It's a nice crisp.
I don't know why I buy anything from you. Now, give me six heads.
And the tomato?
You call them tomatoes? I thought they were cherries.
You like always make it the fun when I...
What's the matter?
Beautiful.
What in blazes are you talking about, Neroni?
About the girl over there. She is beautiful. What's her name?
Her? Well, she's Antonietta. Works here as a waitress.
Tony's got to meet to her. She's beautiful.
No, you don't. She's a good girl, Neroni. Hey, come back here. Hey, what's the idea of running away?
I didn't run away, Mr. Riley.
No, I didn't mean you, Antonietta. I was talking to this guy.
Don't you worry about this guy. I just want to talk to this girl a few minutes. I'll go soon.
I'll see that it is soon.
You're the boss. He's a very nosy guy, eh?
Mr. Riley, we all think he's a real gentleman.
Oh, sure. What's your name?
Antonietta. I'm new here.
Yes, I know that. I come here for 8 months. I never see a more beautiful girl than you.
Oh, stop that, mister.
Call me Tony. Antonio Neroni is my name. But you call me Tony.
All right. Tony.
And I call you Antonietta? Antonietta. That's a nice name.
Hey, Neroni, you still in the vegetable business?
Sure thing, I'm coming. I'll see you again tomorrow, Antonietta. Tomorrow, maybe. Goodbye, beautiful.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, beautiful.
Oh, hello, Helen. You kidding me?
Who's the new Romeo, and why doesn't he get his pants pressed?
I don't know who he is. Well, that is, Mr. Riley buys vegetables from him. His eyes. They're so...
Uh-oh.
What do you mean by that?
You aren't falling for that farmer, are you?
Oh, don't be silly. I fall for a guy like that.
I recognize a little something in that tone. Okay, beautiful. Far be it from me to come between you and your farmer boyfriend.
Come on, girls. Break it up.
Yes, Mr. Riley. I'll go up front.
No, you stay here, Antonietta. I want to talk to you.
I get it.
So long.
Yeah. Antonietta, I have no right to speak to you this way. It's none of my business, but, Neroni... Well, his reputation ain't so good in town.
Don't be ridiculous, Mr. Riley. He doesn't mean a thing to me.
Yeah? Well, I'm not so sure, see? Remember, I'm telling you this for your own good.
Sure. I understand.
He has a way with him, like a snake.
Now, Mr. Riley,
Let me finish. Now, he hypnotizes you, and then... Well, now that I've told you, you can do as you please.
Thanks, Mr. Riley.
Yeah, I can tell you. Riley, he don't like me.
It isn't that, Tony. He just told me that, well, that some people said you weren't so nice, I guess.
Oh, that's all he's saying, eh? You know what the four he talk like that, you know? Well, I tell him. He loves you. That's why he wants you.
Don't be foolish, Tony. I don't mean this much to Mr. Riley. He certainly doesn't mean a thing to me.
Maybe yes or maybe no. Oh, I'm done yet. I want to speak to you. Well, what do you want?
What do you have, folks?
Go on, you, when I want you, I call you.
Hey, don't be so sassy, mister. This ain't no waiting room. We want customers here, see?
Bring me some ginger ale, please.
Right.
Tony, you have a terrible temper. It'll get you into real trouble if you don't watch out. Try to control it, please.
All right, I'll take care. Antonietta, oh, I love you. I want you to marry with me.
What? Marry you? Oh, I've only known you since yesterday. How can you expect me to answer, well, such a serious question?
Well, tell her, you can answer easy. All you gotta say is yes.
I have a good farm. I make a good living for you, Antonietta.
Tell me. Here you are, miss. Ginger ale.
Oh, that the waiter. He bothered me on the first.
Tony, watch your temper, please.
Oh, sure, I watch. Tell me, Antonietta, you love me leading a bit?
I don't know if I do or not, Tony. There's something about you that
the what?
That attracts me, I guess. Your eyes. Oh, but then your temper. I know I'd never be able to get along.
Well, why not try it for a little while?
What?
Oh, I see you. You don't get what I mean. I mean, work for me. Be cook for me and my partners. And then maybe you see if you love me.
No, I couldn't do that.
Because why?
It wouldn't be right, that's why.
That's so wrong, Antonietta. You don't have to be afraid of anything. I pay you more than Mr. Riley. And you work, and that's all. I want you to know me, to love me. You don't think I'm going to do anything wrong, do you?
No, no, no. I won't work for you. Absolutely not.
Are you like our new cook, eh, Dominic?
What's the difference? The older one was just as good.
You hear what he say, Antonietta? You're no better than the older cook. He's a crazy, my partner is. The older one was another half as beautiful.
Remember what you promised, Tony.
Sure thing, I remember.
You got a more soup?
Sure, all you want. Here.
Where is that, Kelly?
You're working.
Listen, why don't you call him and tell him dinner is ready?
If he don't know, why should we worry?
Oh, you're a nice partner, eh, Dominic? Go get that collie, I say.
All right, but don't howl.
Fools. That's what they are, fools. Maybe they think I care whether they eat or not. Fools.
Why did you make him call your other partner?
You want to know why? Listen, I tell you. Because I love you. Because I want to be alone with you, that's why.
Tony, you promise.
Ah, you talk like a foolish girl, Antonia. I promise, sure, but to keep a promise, that's the difference. You know, I love you. I love you the first time I look at you. Now, I want you to marry me.
Oh, no.
You got to change your mind.
I'm making you change, Antonia.
Here comes Ercole. No, you don't bother me no more.
What's the matter, Ercole? You need a butler to ring the dinner bell?
No, I want to finish your work. Let us spend too many weeds.
Next time, you get no dinner if you come late.
What do you mean? Who do you think you are, huh? We're not working for you, Tony. We are a partner, see?
Yeah, Ercole is right, Tony. This farm is as much ours as yours. We not have to stand for you making this place a love nest, or...
Oh, so that's it, huh? You don't want I should love Antonietta, eh? Maybe you fellas love her.
Don't be crazy.
Yeah, you're nuts, Tony. We love her.
Oh, what's the matter with her? Eh? What's the matter?
Nothing the matter with her, only...
Only what?
Only the whole of town say she must be crazy if she see anything in you. That's all.
So, the whole of town are not minding his business, eh?
Ah, you're picking food, Tony. You ask a Dominic to tell you, no? I used to get him sore.
Tony, I'm going to leave in the morning. I can't stay here. You heard what they said.
I tell you, you don't leave. I fix everything. Just you give me a little time to think. I'll be back as soon as I've got a thing.
Sorry, you can never take it on the chin, eh?
He never could.
I don't know what to do. I can't stay
sure,
here.
Sure, I know. You can't stay here and you can't run away. That's what they all say about Tony. He hypnotizes you like a snake. And then he strikes.
Then he strikes?
Dominic, he's all right, Antonietta. If you want a peace, leave. Leave now. There's no tell what Tony will do when he gets it back. Hmm. I can see him on the field now. He gets him mad by the minute. So burns himself up.
Sure, yeah. If he know we tell you to leave him, he'll stop it to nothing.
Sure.
I know Tony. He even a kill.
Dominic, he's all right, Antonietta. He's all right.
What do you say? Tell me what you're talking. Antonietta, what they tell you?
Oh, nothing. But I have something to tell you, Tony.
What? Listen, I know it is you are marrying me, eh?
No, I'm leaving you tonight, now. I can't stand this any longer.
Oh, now I see. I understand. My partners, they talk to you, they give you ideas, eh? You know what Neroni do. You know what I do.
I don't want any letters, I told you. But there's one thing I do want, Neroni. I want to know where Antonietta is.
She ran away.
Well, he said she ran away, but I don't believe him.
I don't either. Where's Dominic?
Dominic and Antonietta ran away.
So did Ercole. Nobody's seen him for days. Neroni's partners and Antonietta have gone. Nobody knows where they are.
Maybe he killed them.
her room, he killed Dominic and Ercole and Antonietta. She wouldn't marry him, so he killed her.
Where did he hide him? Let's find out where
he put him. Let's tell the police. He's dangerous, that man.
Police? No, no, we never talked to the police.
Where's Dom?
Listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Now, you people know what I'm talking about. Why don't you answer?
What do you know about Neroni?
What happened to his partners, that girl who was working for him?
Well, it's no use, Chief. They won't tell us a thing. They know we're police.
I guess you're right, Gale. Come on. I've got an idea. Sit down, Fabrizio. I want to talk to you.
Yes, Chief.
I don't suppose you know what this is all about, Fabrizio. So I'll give you the whole story in a jiffy. We need your help in a tough case. We think you're the only man that can handle this job because it involves your people. You understand them and they believe in you. We can't get a peep out of them.
I'll do anything I can to help, Chief.
Well, it sure looks like we're going to need help. Plenty of it.
What's it all about?
Well, I'll tell you. You know that farmer named Neroni?
I don't know him, but I've heard about him.
Well, he had two partners named Dominic and Ercole, who shared his home. That is, if you can call that joint a home.
Yeah, it's an awful-looking dive.
Now, a few weeks ago, this Neroni guy goes gaga over a waitress named Antonetta. He met her in Mike Riley's coffee pot while delivering vegetables.
Well, what kind of a girl is she?
Was, you mean. We can't find her. Can't find Neroni's partners.
I understand. Where does she live?
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Neroni induced that girl to live up at his place and cook for him and his pals. I understand he paid her more than she earned waiting on tables. Well, anyhow, as I said before, the three of them disappeared. We looked everywhere for some little clue, but found nothing.
And we arrested Neroni.
That's right. Now, we're holding this guy, but we can't hold him for long without any evidence. Trying to find a lawyer now who'll get him out and rid of habeas corpus.
The looks on your faces, I assume that you suspect...
There's no use of us mincing words, Fabrizio. We suspect the worst, murder. And we grilled him for hours, but all he says is they run away. My guess is he'll never crack.
I have an idea, Chief.
I thought you would, Fabrizio. What is it?
You say he's in jail?
Yep.
All right. Let's do this. We'll send for...
Get in there, you mug.
Hey, don't push, copper.
How long do you keep me here?
I don't know, sweetheart. Here, I brought you a roommate if you're lonesome.
Now, listen, come back and let me get out of this place. I tell you, you can't keep me in a jail for nothing.
Hey, pipe down, you punk.
You call me.
Now, look here, you crumb. I'm sharing this bunk with you, see? Go on that corner and shut up. I'll wrap this stool around your neck, understand?
You're not kind of talking to me like that. I mean, no room.
I wouldn't care if you were to Statue of Liberty. Get down there and shut up. What's your name?
Mine's Tony Neroni.
I ain't asking you who you are, and I don't care what your name is.
He's a police, sir. They arrest you?
No. I arrested myself because I wanted to look at your pen. That's what happened. Hey, turn around. I can't stand that mug of yours.
You're a tough guy, eh?
Wrong again. I'm here for picking Daisy.
You steal?
Hey, what's it to you? I ain't asking you what your line is, am I?
Then Donna got no right to arrest me.
Yeah, I know, I know.
I didn't do nothing.
Hey, listen, pasty face. I don't care what you did or didn't do, see? Keep on squawking. If you didn't do nothing, I'll push you through them bars.
Why you got arrested?
Me? Well, all I did was cut a sailor's throat for $12. They put me here for being so cheap.
You killed him?
What do you think?
But that's a murder, to kill somebody.
You're a pretty wise guy to open it all out by yourself.
That's right. They arrest you if you murder somebody.
Listen. Hey, what are you here for? For telling kids there ain't no Santa Claus?
No, they got no right for arrest to me. I don't do nothing.
Yeah, that's a hot one. You didn't do nothing. What'd they charge you with?
What?
They must have arrested you for something. What you here for, your help?
Police say that maybe I killed somebody.
Oh, maybe you killed. Did you?
No.
You mean to say they put you in this jug for nothing?
For no kill.
Well, then I can't help you.
You can't help. What do you mean you can't help?
Listen, you punk. If you're here for doing a man-sized job, I could teach you the ropes. Tricks of the trades order. If you're here for nothing, I don't want to have nothing to do with you.
I don't want to do nothing.
Okay, so you didn't. Now shut up and leave me alone. I want to think.
Then what?
I used every trick I knew, Chief, but he wouldn't fall.
It looks like my plan didn't work.
No, we must work fast or he'll be out of jail. Neroni has already retained a lawyer. Can't stall much longer.
Well, won't be for anything else, Chief?
No, you can leave if you want to. If I need you again, I'll call you.
So long.
Right. Furness speaking. Hello, Richards. What's up? What? Yeah? Yeah. We sure are working on that Neroni case. Who? Giuseppe. He's who? Oh, brother, eh? That's nice. Yeah, sort of makes a nice quartet, four of them. When did this happen? Yeah, I see. I get it. Okay. Right, so long.
What's the matter, Chief?
What happened?
Oh, another guy disappeared. The gossip has charged that to Neroni, too.
Well, how could they? He's been in jail the last week.
I know, but this man disappeared before we arrested Neroni.
Before? Who is he?
A fellow named Giuseppe. He's Dominic's brother.
Brother? Good heavens, Chief. You don't mean to tell me that Neroni killed all of them?
Well, it doesn't seem possible. I don't know what else could have happened to them. Richards reports that Giuseppe told his wife he was going to see his brother Dominic. He never returned.
Four people missing.
Missing or murdered? Well, we can't prove it. We've gone over his house with a fine-tooth comb. Can't find a single clue. Not even a drop of blood.
I've got another idea, Chief. It's a long shot, but I think we ought to try it.
I'll try anything. What is it?
Neroni knows that we're holding him here as a suspect of the murder of three people. As far as he's concerned, we know nothing of this fourth man.
That's right.
Now, Neroni doesn't know me, but he's heard of me. I've done a lot of favors for his people in town.
Yeah, they know of you, all right, and they like you.
All right. Now, my plan is this. I'll see this Neroni and tell him I can save him.
We'll follow you, Fabrizio.
Well, there's nothing Neroni would rather do than leave this country. He'll believe me when I tell him that I can get him a passport because I've done that for some of his friends.
I still don't understand. How are you going to find the bodies we're looking for by promising him a passport?
I'm going to make him tell us.
All right, there he is.
All right, thanks. Well, what are you waiting for? I told you I wanted to speak to this man in private.
All right, all right. You don't have to be so sassy.
Those jailers are sure fresh. You're Tony Neroni, aren't you?
Yeah.
Gee, I had some tough time getting in here to see you.
Who are you are?
Fabrizio is my name. You must have heard of me.
No.
Well, that doesn't matter. I've come here to help you.
I'm no sander for you.
Yes, I know, but some of your friends sent me here.
Because of why?
I told you to help you. Now, listen, I don't want any of those nosy Americans to hear me. Come over here.
What do you want?
I've been sent here to see that you get a passport to go back to your native land.
Yeah?
Yes, and if you're interested, I'll tell you how you can show these fool Americans that we're smarter than they are.
Sure, we're lots of smart.
Not so loud. You are here because the police suspect you of killing three people.
Not to me. Then run away. I know kill.
Shut up. Only one way for you to prove that you didn't kill those three people.
How?
Tell the police the truth.
You mean the truth?
Yes. Tell them how Giuseppe killed them and hid the bodies.
Giuseppe?
Not so loud. The police don't know that he ran away yet. What you've got to do is to tell them how Giuseppe killed Antonetta and the others. How he threatened you and then ran away.
Suppose they don't believe.
Don't be foolish. Why shouldn't they believe you? You saw Giuseppe kill them, didn't you?
Tell me, how can I prove that Giuseppe killed Antonietta and my partner?
All you've got to do is tell them that what you saw, that's all. They'll try to arrest Giuseppe, discover he's run away, and that's that. And they'll have to let you go then.
Okay, I get that's all of what I got to do?
Yeah. When the police ask you why you didn't tell them this before, tell them the truth.
The truth?
Sure. Tell them that you were afraid, that Giuseppe threatened to kill you. If he ever found out that you told on him.
Okay, I see.
I'm leaving now, Neroni. You do what you want to, but my advice is to tell him the truth, like I said.
Sure, I tell him.
Now, remember, don't lie to the police. By the way, you know where he hid the bodies, don't you? Then tell the police. Tell him the truth. That's the best way. Goodbye, Neroni. And don't forget the truth, the whole truth.
How'd you make out?
Well, we'll wait and see. Unless I'm wrong, our fine friend will bite on the bait I've given him.
You mean to say he fell for that yarn?
Sure.
Oh, Chief, Neroni wants to see you right away. Says he's got something important to tell you.
He has, eh? Okay, I'll be right down. Gale?
Yes, sir?
Get Sloan to bring the bloodhounds to Neroni's farm.
Yes, sir.
Get the car ready. We're going to take Mr. Neroni for a little ride so he can tell us the truth.
Well, it's like this. I was sitting in the house with Antonietta and Dominic and Ercole. We all
thought. Oh, Dom, thank you.
See, Antonietta, Dominic, you say you a good cook.
Sure, sure, she make a good wife.
That's
no, no can be a good wife, Dominic.
What?
All the wives are bad.
Oh,
Ercole,
that's a lot.
You hear that? You hear that, Antonietta? Ercole say. Giuseppe, what the fuck you come?
Get up. I come because I want to come. Ask my brother. He know.
Hey, what's the matter, Giuseppe? Why are you looking that way?
You don't know it, Dominic. You don't know what for I come.
No, I don't know.
You lie.
Your brother, he's a fool. Sit down, Giuseppe. Have some wine. We talk, eh?
I don't want to know wine. I don't want to know talk. I come to teach my brother a lesson.
What's the matter, Giuseppe? What have I done? Giuseppe, put down that gun.
I'm going to kill you.
That's just how it happened. I get the fright and then quick and run away.
After he shot his brother, you ran out.
Hmm? Yeah.
You didn't see him shoot Antonetta or Ercole?
Oh, no. Then what happened? I run into the woods there. Later, long time, I see Giuseppe come out and dig a great big hole. Then they go in the house and they carry out a body in the tub. Three bodies, one by one, and a bury.
That's why we couldn't find any blood around. He carried them in a tub. And then?
Then he ran away.
Which way did he run?
Tell him the truth, Stuart, Neroni.
That way.
That's where the bodies are buried?
That's right. Over there. By barn.
Okay, men. Dig over there with the barn.
Right, right,
Chief. Do you know why Giuseppe killed his brother?
No.
It's like you frightened your horse, Neroni. Even he doesn't like you. You know why Giuseppe killed the others?
I no can see.
You loved Antonietta, didn't you?
Sure, gonna marry.
Were your partners jealous?
Tell him the truth, Neroni.
Jealous or no?
Hey, Chief.
Yeah, find anything?
Over here.
Right.
Hey, look. Look at that.
Merciful heaven. Three of them. Three innocent people.
Shot through the head, every one of them. Look, there's the tub. One of the bloodhounds couldn't help us.
Awful. Terrible. Gale?
Yes, sir?
Phone the coroner. Have him send up the wagon.
Okay, Chief.
I okay, a free man now?
You what?
I a free man. I tell you how it happened. I'm going to go away now.
You go away? Sure. Sure you'll go away.
What's the matter? You laugh. You tell me you're my friend.
I just want to ask you one more question. I want you to tell the truth now. The real truth, understand?
I don't gather what you mean. You say I tell.
Yes, I know. You told us a story and you think you fooled us, didn't you?
We're stupid Americans, aren't we? Well, maybe you're right. We're stupid enough, though, to want to know what you did with Giuseppe's body.
No. You double-crossed me.
That's not half as bad as murder, Neroni.
You lied to me. You lied. You double-crossed me. I kill you. I kill you. I choke you.
That'll keep him quiet for a while.
Yeah, he almost broke your gun on his head, Chief.
Too bad I didn't kill him. Save the country a lot of money if I did. You all right, Fabrizio?
Yes, fine, thanks.
How are you, wise guy?
Oh, he double across. I'm gonna kill him. He double across.
Why don't you do what Giuseppe?
He ran away. Giuseppe run away.
Let's take him back, Chief. We'll find that other body and we have to dig up this whole farm.
Right. Boys, carry this guy to the car.
Okay.
Did you see this dispatch here, Chief?
Antonio Neroni, serving a life sentence, the murder of four people whose bodies were buried on his farm, was found dead in prison last night. was beaten to death by a fellow prisoner when he attempted to attack a party of visitors.
Yeah, nice guy, huh?
Yeah, nice and ferocious.
Yeah, you remember how he looked, though, when we blasted his phony alibi by finding Giuseppe's body?
A real look of horror.
Yeah, matched the house he lived in. A real horror house if ever there was one.
You have just heard a thrilling story taken from the pages of True Detective Mysteries magazine.
From August of 1937, Dick Janiver starring in Murder in the Horror House on True Detective Mysteries. Well, it's no mystery here. We're out of time for this edition of Yesteryear, but that's all right. We plan to be back here again at the exact same time next week, and we invite you to tune in once again for the best of the golden age of radio on Yesteryear. Till next time, I'm Craig Roberts. So long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, I miss you, so-dio-vo-dio-do-dio-do. Radio.